Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. And we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, gents. How are you doing this morning?
Doing awesome. Appreciate you taking time to be with us.
Super.
So, Charles, the Sam Darnold pursuit is over. He ends up in Seattle. You've got whatever's going on with Aaron Rodgers. We'll get to that with you here in just a few minutes. Not any activity on the quarterback front from the Titans to this point. So,
yeah.
Do you view – I guess, number one, how do you view that? Do you think the Titans are zeroing in on Cam Ward as their guy? And if not, what do you make of where the Titans go at the quarterback position?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I started the process. I would have told you, I thought based on conversations I had coming out of the combine that potentially they were leaning away from, Cam Ward, but you know, they signed Dan Moore and, I think that shifted, honestly. I really do. I think it shifted for, you know, Cam Ward's camp. I think it shifted for, when you look at just how the Titans have prepared, conversations that I had after the Moore signing, which were just, look, they're not going out and adding a tackle at that financial price point to protect an old guy next year. They're not doing it to protect Will Levis next year. What's sort of materialized for me over the last few days is just that, you know, the Levis experience is really over there. There's no veteran out there that they're fishing around with right now. And that if anything, when you talk to, you know, Cam Ward's, corner of the planet, it's just, okay, I'm going to end up in Tennessee right now, or they're going to deal me, they're going to deal the top overall pick to the Giants and I'm going to be a Giant. I think that's really how Cam Ward's camp's, approaching this right now, that's the two teams that he's really looking at. And of those two teams, the setup sure as heck looks like it's the Titans that are preparing to take him at that number one overall pick. So I think, especially when you look at the Giants, there's a little bit of desperation right now because they're waiting to find out what is Aaron Rodgers going to do. Russell Wilson is their backup option in New York right now. And then, you know, I think the options that they're looking at draft-wise, the way they're really preparing, seems like they're going to be at that number three overall pick. So that, to me, has definitely been a shift. Like I said, I think really when things kicked off, I was not putting Cam Ward in Tennessee, and now I think that's changed quite a bit, and the focus has shifted over to the few remaining franchises that are looking for a bridge starter right now, and those are all, you know, Pittsburgh, New York and the Cleveland Browns. Those are the three teams that feel the most desperate to sign a veteran right now.
Okay. I hear what you're saying, but I guess I would ask on the Moore signing, don't you need to fix your offensive line regardless?
Yeah.
Like you've got to fix your offensive line. Also, let me ask you this as a follow-up. How big of a fix is Dan Moore? I mean, you know, if you ask some Steelers fans, they might tell you, not that big of a fix. I don't know internally. I know the Steelers have drafted tackles the last two drafts, so that's been sort of the plan. He wasn't supposed to be the plan last year.
Right.
But what's your feeling on him? What's the feeling around the league on him? And also just the idea of, I guess, the Titans had to fix their offensive line, period,
true.
Right?
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, I don't think let me put it this way. I think Moore is, and I want to be real careful here because I don't want to make it look like it's a bad signing. I don't think it's a bad signing, but it's definitely a signing where when you look at Moore's age, you know, he's almost, I think he's near 26 and a half right now. It's not like it's it's a young-ish offensive tackle. I mean, he's really in the middle of his prime. He's a solid player. I don't think, as you said, if you talk to Steelers The Pittsburgh Steelers, he's not, a lot of people probably say, look, he's not an absolute like anchor franchise tackle. That's going to fix all your problems. But I think for the money that they signed him for, it was a, let me put it to you this way. It was a very motivated signing. And I think it raised some eyebrows when people are like, wow, okay. Yeah. They have to fix their line. But they really pushed it with this particular, tackle that they added. And so for me, what I end up doing is I start making calls saying like, okay, like contextualize this signing for me. And the way it was put to me was, like I said, they're not going out and they're not signing him at this stage with this level of motivation to go protect, you know, some middling, you know, bridge starter right now. They're not going out and they're not doing this to protect Will Levis right now. They're going out and they're doing this because they're going to make the kind of move quarterback from the quarterback standpoint that they feel like could potentially transform the franchise moving forward. And the only player, honestly, that's available right now who you could really look at and say that's the guy, given that they didn't get involved with anyone else. Remember, too, we have that piece of information in our pocket is Cam Ward. I'd feel differently if I were talking to other teams and they're saying, man, we're worried about the Titans right now. We're worried about the Titans taking this guy away from us right now. Or if I were talking to, you know, agents saying, you know, I'm using the Titans as leverage, or every indication I get really is that the Titans have been sidelined in a way that it only makes sense to other franchises that the resolution that is spelled out in their actions is that they're going to end up sitting at number one and ultimately taking Cam Ward. And by the way, also, I think from my own personal knowledge, feeling like from what I've gathered, you know, Levis, they don't want to do Levis as a starter in 2025. They really do not want to go down that that avenue again. They've been there. They know how it ends up. And I'm talking about the coaching staff. I'm talking about the incoming front office. I think there is a feel there that they know that's not something that realistically they're going to be able to do in 2025 and have the kind of success that can turn a franchise around. And by the way, I will also say, I know there are some people inside the organization, and I'm not saying Cam Ward is Jaden Daniels, but it's not lost on them what Daniels was able to do to really turn around the culture of the franchise, not just the wins and losses, but also, you know, inside the locker room, people wanting to gravitate to the Washington Commanders. If we had said that a year ago, it would have been the most ridiculous thing we've ever heard, that the Commanders would be a franchise that was turned around, that players wanted to go play for, that they could be a playoff team. That's not happening, honestly. I feel like there's nobody inside the organization that's like, that'll happen with Will Levis. Nobody feels that way right now. So you kind of have to put all the pieces together and understand what they have pursued and what they haven't, which is just as big a piece of information, and it points toward Cam Ward.
So is Rodgers to the Steelers going to happen in your mind? There's some chatter out there about how he could end up in Minnesota on a one-year deal. How do you view the Rodgers part of this?
Yeah, it's really interesting because clearly he's holding up everything right now. Everybody's waiting on him. It's sort of like when we began free agency and it was, you know, Darnold was the domino that had to fall that slid a number of players into their positions. But, you know, the Steelers, they have outs that they don't in Russell Wilson, because there are people inside the Steelers organization that do not want to go back to Russell Wilson flat out. Like, and I'm talking about like coaching staff members that walked away from 2024 saying, we can't do that again. Like, we know what that is. It's not going to change. If he's our starter again in 2025, we can expect the same results ultimately down the stretch that we had in 2024. It's going to be the same roller coaster again. And, you know, even with bringing DK Metcalf aboard, which, you know, can be transformational in some respects, but we'll see if George Pickens is still there by the time the draft rolls around. Those are two really interesting wide receiver kind of mindsets to have in your locker room together. And I just don't think that Russell Wilson is viewed as the answer inside Pittsburgh. So they're really looking at Aaron Rodgers saying, like, we got to have this guy. Absolutely. And, the Giants, at the very least, not having gone through the Russell Wilson experience, wanting Aaron Rodgers, feel like they have two options. I think Pittsburgh is in a situation where they got one option, and then they have in Russell the backup. It's, yeah, sure, it's an option, but it's also one where everyone says this, it's not going to change. Really, what we experienced in 2024 is going to be replicated, and you know, that's a problem. At some point, ownership's going to go, this is enough. Like, we can't keep running into the same, you know, yeah, Mike Tomlin doesn't have a losing season, but are we really spinning our wheels here? At some point, there has to be change, just for changes, just for the sake of change, kind of like the Philadelphia Eagles looked at Andy Reid when they kept just sort of ending up in the same place over and over again. So Rodgers is on the beach in Australia doing his thing. I feel like every offseason we're kind of waiting for this guy to do something or make some decision or there to be some declaration. We're back there again. But I can tell you absolutely Cleveland, New York, and Pittsburgh are all sitting there right now going, how is this going to slot out? And there's only two quarterback chairs right now because now it looks like the Atlanta Falcons are really serious about not letting Kirk Cousins go this Sunday. They're gonna go through that roster bonus trigger for 2026 salary. They're going to go ahead and, you know, add another $10 million in guaranteed salary in 2026, and they're going to hang on to him because they know they have a player right now that could have some value and they could trade.
So I want to go back to Cam Ward, Charles, with the Titans, because, as you said, I mean, you know, you can look at this situation. It's hard to – I mean, it looks like strongly like, you know, they're going to potentially take him with that top pick. Do you feel, I guess, their pivot on him, how much of it would you attribute to, like, just getting to know him, liking him more, the visit, things like that? How much, if any, would you attribute it to the trade market just isn't as appealing as maybe you would have thought as a team holding the number one pick?
I think it's three factors. Number one, I think it's the assessment on Cam, and I can't speak to it being universal inside the franchise. I don't know that everybody's, you know, fully on board. And that is one thing that, and I always tend to take this with a grain of salt. When I come out of the combine, I try to get a feel for how teams that I think are going to take a player, I try to get a feel for how teams are sort of viewing players. But it can be tricky because sometimes you can come out of the combine and you will hear, hey, they're not completely sold on this player. I felt, and I kind of felt like that with Cam and Shador when it came to the Tennessee Titans. I was like, man, this just feels the assessment I'm getting from other teams that interact with the Titans, you know, just different pieces of information. I felt like, man, the Titans aren't sold on these guys. I just don't see them taking Cam at one. This feels like a trade situation. And then even from Cam's camp, it felt like coming out of the combine, it felt to me like they really thought, hey, the Giants are moving up to one and we're, you know, Cam's going to be the number one overall pick, but it's going to end up being with the New York Giants. So I was very sold at the start of free agency. The Titans aren't, I kind of had conviction the Titans aren't taking this guy. And even when I think I tweeted out like, hey, just once Darnold had signed with the Seahawks, I kind of thumbnailed here's where I think the quarterbacks are going. And I did not have Cam with the Titans. But after a few days, again, of processing the Dan Moore signing, talking to some different people, I thought, all right, there's a lot of noise here. Like maybe there are, you know, individuals have a certain assessment of Cam, but they're not making a decision inside the Titans, which is not unusual. You will have, anytime there's assessments of players draft that you're drafting, if you go across an organization and you start saying, okay, well, what did the OC say? What did the head coach say? What did the general manager say? What did the head of, you know, player personnel? You will sometimes get deviation in opinions or, you know, someone thinks that maybe it's the year to wait. Others think that, no, this is the year we have to do it. So it'll get real muddy really fast. And that's why I think to me it's very difficult to pin down what a team is going to do with a draft pick, even when they have the number one overall selection. But that to me is what changed once they signed Dan Moore, I'm like, yeah, I don't know, man. Maybe what I'm hearing initially coming out of the combine, it's not necessarily direct decision makers. Maybe it's individuals who are making personnel evaluations on Cam Ward who are like most people in the league who say, man, I really wish it was the 2024 class of quarterbacks and not the 2025 class. Man, this isn't the year to get a quarterback. Maybe it's next year or maybe it's 2027. Believe it or not, that's most of the league when it comes to this quarterback class. That doesn't mean that the Titans aren't going to take him. Again, when you look at all the pieces of information, it's are they comfortable, returning to the Levis experience? I think the answer to that is no. Are they in on the multitude of veteran quarterbacks that have signed elsewhere? The answer to that was no. Are they in on potentially trading for a bridge starter? Up until now, I have not heard from any team that, hey, the Titans are burning up the phone trying to acquire a veteran bridge starting quarterback. Is it Kirk Cousins? Are they waiting around to see if Kirk Cousins comes loose? No, it's felt like Cleveland is really the team that is really circling Kirk Cousins. And when you talk to the Falcons, it really feels like the Falcons are sitting there staring at Cleveland. So when you add all that up, you're like, well, what's the option? Like if they don't want to return to Levis and they're not getting involved with anybody else and they're signing a tackle with a lot of motivation and the story you're getting is they're not signing this guy to go protect some old, veteran bridge starter. Where do we end up? And I'm asking you guys that honestly, like I'm saying that to you, Joe and Robbie, where are we going here? If you add all those pieces up, you tell me what is the other piece of information I'm missing here that tells you it's not Cam Ward, it's somebody else.
I'm right there with you.
It seems clear. And I'm interested. I am just curious about the, like, one, is it possible that the Giants still could be like, crap, we got to have him here. Have this bundle. And the Titans are like, is it like, nope, that's it. He's our guy, period.
I don't think the assessment's done. It's still March 13th, right? Like, I can't say on March 13th there's absolutely no way that the Titans stick at one and pick, and there's no way that the Giants – get desperate and start throwing everything they can at trying to resolve the quarterback spot. But when I talk to people about the Giants, when I talk to, Russell Wilson's corner of the planet, when I talk to people that are close to Rodgers, it's clear that the Giants are sitting there going, we have outs here. We have a couple of guys on the table and our first order of business is to get one of these two guys locked down. And that's Aaron and Russ. So, And it appears that will be available. Now, here's the trick. What could change all this is the Cleveland Browns, again, if you talk to people with the Falcons, clearly they have a feeling that the Cleveland Browns are just sitting there going, okay, cut Kirk Cousins by Sunday. That gives us our other, veteran that we would like to add to our quarterback room, the cheap economic option. And the Falcons are saying, well, yeah, we're not going to cut Kirk. So how do the Browns respond to that? They go, okay, well, if either this is a game of chicken or it's real, we have to now make our plan B. Well, our plan B is we're going to host Russ. So they're going to host Russell Wilson. Now, Russell Wilson could go to Cleveland. Cleveland could sit there and go, you know what? Financially, we can make this work right now. Let's not wait. Let's not wait to find out if Kirk is going to get cut or not on Sunday, because clearly the Falcons and also Kirk's camp is letting the world know right now he's going to be a Falcon Sunday. He's going to be a Falcon Monday. He's going to be a Falcon Tuesday. And if you want Kirk, you're going to have to trade for him. So if Cleveland goes out there and they go, we're not going to wait. We're going to resolve this now. We're not going to trade anything with Kirk. Let's just sign Russell Wilson, and now we're done. Then now you have Pittsburgh, and you have the New York Giants sitting there going, oh, my God. Like, this is Aaron Rodgers. And if we don't get Aaron, what do we do? And you have the Atlanta Falcons sitting in the background rubbing their hands together going, we got a quarterback. If you want this quarterback who you think we're going to cut and pay $27.5 million in 2025 for you to have a quarterback, yeah, we're not going to do that. But if you want to kick us an asset for Kirk Cousins, maybe we'll still pay that $27.5 or most of it, and you send us a draft pick. That way we at least get something out of it. Or we just roll with Kirk as a high-priced backup, since we're already paying him anyway. So why not just go ahead and use him? As long as Kirk has not indicated he's going to throw an absolute fit, we could make this work, even though it's awkward. Could things change? If that changes, if Aaron ends up in Pittsburgh and Russ signs in Cleveland, now you have the New York Giants sitting there going, we don't have a guy. Like, what do we do now? Now we're in panic mode because Mac Jones was signed in San Francisco. Like, there's literally, at this point, you're like, we have to throw everything we have at resolving this now because we've lost everybody and we don't look at Kirk as a guy that we want to kick draft assets for. Instead, we'll pick up the phone and we'll call Tennessee and we'll over-offer, you know, to get up to the number one pick. Do I think that could happen? Yes, I think that could happen. It all depends on, I think, what ultimately transpires with Russ. Because right now the Giants have options. If they have no options, then it changes the landscape again.
Well, Charles, great stuff, man. Busy week for you. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Before I go, though, I'm legitimately – I haven't had a chance to listen in today. I'm curious. Like, what is the assessment right now, you know, I think for you guys there in Nashville? Like, do you think this is, I'm curious, do you think they're going in a different direction than Cam?
No. I mean, I can't, it's hard to believe that at this point. I mean, you know, what do I think? I think selfishly, we'll take the Cam Ward experience and it'll be way more entertaining than like the Zach Wilson experience, you know? So, but I mean, I also think it could end up being a big mistake. but yeah, I mean, how wrong are we all on these guys all the time?
Okay,
you know,
and that's fair enough, and especially this year with this class. Like, I do understand that, and I'm with you there. And again, when I talk to people across the league, universally, everybody's like, yeah, you know, it's not the year that I would want to take a quarterback. But at the very least, the one upside here is teams do say. Is like I've had teams say to me, like, you know, Cam's probably overrated too. Like, if you look at the whole class, it's not like I did a ton of work on Shador, and I had a lot of people telling me like how overrated he was. And then I had an executive that goes, hey man, like, guess what? So's Cam. Like, this whole class is a little bit overrated. However, you clearly see there's a gulf between Cam and everybody else. It's not Cam, Shador, and everybody else. It's Cam, Gulf, Shador, smaller golf, you know, Jackson Dart, whoever else. So at the very least, it's not, I don't think this is the Kenny Pickett comes off the board first year. Okay. I really don't. Like, it doesn't feel like that, where it's just, this guy has no business really being a first round pick, maybe the top overall pick, but there's enough talent there to feel like he merits the swing that you're going to take. And I know I've mentioned the Dan Moore signing, which is a big part of it, but I really just feel like it became very clear to me that really I don't think they want to repeat the Levis experience from 2024 and 2025. And with no other options I see on the table, I do think Cam is not a bad option. He is a risky option, but he's not a bad option. So, yeah, I think that's just how I approach it now. Who knows? It's March 13th. We can talk next week, and we'll be like, okay, so Aaron Rodgers signed. Like, and then that changes everything. But this is just how the assessment feels right now, and I don't think it's – I really honestly don't think it's wrong. And I've swung on this. I did a 180 a week ago, like Sunday. I felt like, nah, they're not taking Cam Ward. They're going to end up dealing this pick, and they'll – run it back with Levis and some other veteran that they signed. I just don't know if there's anybody else out there to run it back to. And I don't think they want Levis to be the starter. Frankly, that's how I feel on March 13th.
Hey, I'm all in on it at this point. Charles, great stuff, man. Appreciate you being with us.
Okay, thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock. A lot of stuff there on Cam Ward and the Titans. We'll get back to that and take your thoughts on that, your reaction to Charles Robinson next. Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Appreciate Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports for being with us in the last segment. Joe, a lot to sort through there from Charles, but the general idea being that he thinks it's looking like Cam Ward going to be the next member of the Tennessee Titans. And, you know, it's hard to argue that based on the way that this offseason is going so far, particularly the lack of aggression from the Titans on the quarterback front. So, I mean, it's hard to disagree with what Charles is throwing out there just in terms of you look at what's happened in the quarterback market. He's talked about having conversations about not hearing that the Titans are involved in any sort of trade pursuit for a quarterback. And at this point, have not shown any interest in any of these bridge guys. It is all lining up for Cam Ward to be the number one overall pick. And I'm with Charles. We've talked about it a lot on the show. Like, the idea of bringing Will Levis back, to me, even on the team, but certainly as your starter, makes zero sense whatsoever. And it sounds like, based on conversations that he's had, that ain't going to happen.
Right. So, yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, I hope, you know, listeners appreciated, you know, Charles kind of walking us through the reporting process there, you know, what he was getting after the combine. And, you know, again, some of this is also him reading tea leaves, but he's got a good handle, you know, on a lot of things around the league, including the fact that the Titans aren't calling about a trade. You know, I still have that question of, like, is there any way, if this is what their plan is, first, I'd love to know, you know, how unified is that? I mean, Charles mentioned coaches having input, which is a crazy idea. You know, the coaches would have input on who the players on a football team would be. I, by the way, in all seriousness, firmly believe that the coaches of the Tennessee Titans do have a say, but how unified is the vision if it is Cam Ward? Were they blown away by his visit? And then is there an offer that could come that would be so, you know, an offer they can't refuse, you know, because the Giants decide, no, we got to have this guy. And also, like, what did Titans fans think about just, again, I think Charles put it in good context there. It's like, let's not pretend this is like the Pickett quarterback draft.
Yeah.
Where, again, there were guys projected at the high, Malik Willis projected by some people to go in the top five, and the Titans get him in the third round. And Pickett's the one guy who goes in the middle of the draft. This isn't that, but obviously, if you go by just the grading of Cam Ward, he's behind a whole bunch of quarterbacks who have gone in recent years. So how do you feel about that? He's just the best guy available? I mean, that's not, you know, that's scary, right?
Yeah.
But so, I mean, now I'm looking at this situation again. Like I told Charles, like, for us, like, I hope the draft Cam Ward. And I'm sure a lot of Titans fans do too, but it might not be the right decision.
Yeah, as far as like the trade offer from the Giants part of this, number one, like, if you're a Titans fan, it's going to be really interesting to see the way the Rodgers situation plays out. Because if Rodgers ends up in Pittsburgh, do the Giants pivot and land Russell Wilson? What happens if Cleveland decides to land Russell Wilson? Like, what are the Giants doing at quarterback at that point? Like, as far as like the offer from them, like, to me, with the quarterback, it doesn't really matter. Like, I'm of the standpoint of the offer that you can't refuse doesn't exist if you love the quarterback. Like, I'm not – if they love Cam Ward, then I'm not really interested in what the Giants have to say or what their offer is, regardless of what it looks like. If they don't, then that's where I become interested, and that's also where I would say, hey, don't take Cam Ward if that's the way you view it. And right. That's a really tough spot for them to be in. So, like, I look at the Ward part of this – and, like, from the standpoint of the Giants trying to move up and getting desperate to do it, that's fine. They can be as desperate as they want in my book. And if you're the Titans, I don't really care what they offer. If you love Cam Ward and you think he's their and you think he's your guy.
Yeah, I hear you. But, like, I think everything leading up to here kind of tells us that it hasn't been this absolute universal love Cam Ward
I agree.
The whole way, right?
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, how much can his visit – how much does a in-person visit matter? I mean, the film didn't change, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's where it's like, okay, so maybe they went from, you know, maybe they went from 50% love to 80% love, but I don't think it's 100. So if it's not 100, then I would have to assume that there is still a way to get them to, you know what, this is too good. And yes, it's going to be more painful this year, but it might have been painful with a rookie anyway, no matter how good we think he's going to be. But in the meantime, the next year's draft I believe it is going to be better. And this just ends up not being the year to do this because we got this and this and this for them. We got all these picks. We can take one of these great players that's not a quarterback that we know is a great player that's universally graded as a top five pick. And in the long run, we're going to be better off. Pivot again the other way. I don't know. Maybe, like I said, that's out. You're saying if that's a possibility, then you should not draft Cam Ward.
Yeah. Like, to me, you need to be sure. As sure as you can be. And we all know that people are wrong about this all the time. But, like, if there's doubt in your mind that Cam Ward is the right pick for you, then don't take him at number one overall. Like, I think that's how you get yourself into a world of trouble. If you're just like, well, we basically like him. We'll do it at number one overall and take him at quarterback. It's like, well, I mean, you're like it or not, you're basically tying your future employment to your quarterback pick. So, if you're wrong about Cam Ward, you're probably going to be out of a job here in a few years.
Right. Now, if you're Brian Callahan and the alternative is, you know what? We are going to take these other players. Brian, good luck with Levis and Rudolph again.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, his timeline looks a little different. So I would think he'd probably be for, he'd probably talk himself into either of these guys. You know, at the top of the draft. And by the way, I continue to agree with Jared from Spring Hill. I prefer Sanders, but you know, Charles said Ward golf, smaller golf, or Ward golf, Sanders,
smaller golf
than UB3.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More to get to on the Cam Ward front, plus a situation with another quarterback in the NFL that's kind of amazing to believe at this point when you take a look at it. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rexrow, 1025-1063, the game. This week's Nashville's Best Deal, Boomba's Pizza and Watch Bar, just in time for the SEC Tournament. Score half off a $30 gift card and enjoy their award-winning pizza and handcrafted beverages. Visit them in Nashville, Spring Hill, or Murfreesboro. Visit thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. Also, make sure you check out this St. Patrick's Day weekend, and we're going to be a part of this as well. In East Nashville, the parade. Come out and join 102.5 The Game in Five Points at Boston Commons for the official Nashville St. Patrick's Day Parade presented by Aer Lingus, kicking off at 10 a.m. this Saturday. Live Irish music, drink specials, family fun all day long. We'll be out there 9 to 11 a.m. With giveaways and your chance to win concert tickets as well. So make sure you join us for that. Joe, you'd like to address Kuharsky real quickly here on the program.
Well, I just want to read Jack from Nashville on the text line and driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. He texted and said, Joe, I listened to yesterday's show late last night. I just wanted to let you know, we're on your side versus PK. For him to misquote your story so confidently, then backtrack by saying, quote, we like to exaggerate for fun, was absolutely ridiculous. For someone that gets so hung up on reporting and exact wordings of things, for him to say that was so childish. Thank you, Jack from Nashville. I'd like to say, when I say bless your heart, I mean it in the most sincere way possible. And I have sent that text to Kuharsky, and I sent a profane message to go with it.
You did.
And I just want you to know, I tagged Robbie on it too. You know, Robbie could have cleaned this up yesterday, but Robbie had a chance to be on the right side of history, but he prefers.
I don't do that.
Yeah, sometimes you got to take a stand, man.
No,
take a stand.
I like watching you squirm,
whether it's
with Kuharsky or Stillman. It's one of my great joys in life, and I'm not going to rob myself of it.
Who cares about my health? Yeah, who cares about my health? As long as you get some enjoyment out of it, it's fine.
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
Right. What do you make of the Kirk Cousins stuff? So it looks like Cousins is going to be on Atlanta's roster. You know, they've got until 5 days into the new league year, or they owe him a $10 million roster bonus. Well, it looks like he's going to be there, and either he's going to be the backup quarterback for Michael Penix, or eventually they're going to be able to work out a trade and give some compensation for him. I did not think it would go this way. I thought that he would eventually force himself out. He's not done that. What do you make of the Kirk Cousins situation in Atlanta?
Well, the Falcons are – I said it earlier in the show – I don't think it's the craziest idea. You like Penix. You had to make the switch last year. Cousins was fading badly. Penix played pretty well. Are you totally sold that Penix is the guy and is going to be, you know, it'll be good this year? Are you totally sold that last year meant Cousins is toast? It's not. Is it the worst thing in the world to have two, like, viable options at starting quarterback? Also, I mean, I think this you could look at this like the Falcons are taking the financial hit to potentially, because they potentially believe they're going to get draft capital out of Cleveland. And I can definitely see Stefanski wanting Cousins to run his offense. I can totally see that. I don't hate that at all for Cousins or for the Browns. So the Falcons, you know, they're obviously they're taking this financial hit, but maybe they do end up benefiting from it in terms of their team building. And Cousins does get a fresh start. I don't know. I think either scenario makes sense to me, even though, I mean, we were sure, and so was Charles, that, you know, they were just going to release him.
I mean, Atlanta holds the 15th pick in this year's draft. You just get Jackson Dart, go along with it. You have Penix, Cousins, and Dart. Just make sure that quarterback position is solidified.
That would mean that two of your three quarterbacks have X in their name. That's kind of cool.
That is kind of cool. That's going to do it.
That's
for us
what really matters
here on the program. We'll have a lot more to get into tomorrow on the Cam Ward front. A lot of things that Charles threw out there that very interesting. If you missed it, go check out our podcast, Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Chasing Big Joe is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.